Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew McCormick.
And today on the show, we are once again joined by Ella Drongel, who is here on the show today to talk to us about revolving credits and flexible home loans. Now, Ella, we briefly mentioned this on the previous show about how you are able to pay down your first home mortgage much more quickly, about $24,000 extra a year. And you mentioned that you use a very specific financial structure. Now, what I want to do today is go through what that is and exactly how this works.
So it's making your money work for you. And in this case, I used to work for NZHL, and they're very educational around how your money works and how your home loan can be set up. So putting a bit of plan in place. So do you have extra income each month that you can effectively be putting towards your home and offsetting the interest? So in brief, how it works is if you have a home loan of 100K, you have $20,000 worth of savings in your bank account. That money offsets against your mortgage, so you're only paying interest on $80,000.
And so unlike offset mortgages where you have an account in credit and a mortgage in debit and they balance each other out, revolving credits are a little bit more complicated than that, right? So I often describe them as like an overdraft, but at home loan rates. So if someone has, say, that $100,000, their limit on their account would be $100,000. They'd put their money in, which would bring the balance down to $80,000. The benefit is that you only pay interest on the net balance, so a negative $80,000, but you've also got access to that money, so you can afford to challenge yourself a little bit further by putting extra money in there. Even if you're going to need that in a couple of months' time, it's offsetting your mortgage in the meantime.
Right, because your money isn't going to be making any money for you in the bank, so you might as well offset it against your mortgage.
Especially now. Yeah, absolutely. And also, Ella, one of the things I know New Zealand home loans are big at is educating people to kind of use their credit card and that interest-free period in your credit card to have your expenses go through and then pay that off in full at the end of that month so that you pay it off in the interest-free period, therefore having an extra, say, $2,000, $3,000 worth of monthly expenses in your mortgage, reducing your interest in that time. So even if someone doesn't have a major surplus, they're still saving interest on their loan.
How much does that ballpark save, Andrew? Because, of course, you then top up.
Very little. It doesn't make a huge amount of difference. It is the surplus income that people have that they can commit to their mortgage.
That makes a big difference. Yep. And the other thing, that just on that, not to criticise it, and that's what I'm doing, asking a question, is sometimes, and I have seen it, some academics come out and say that if people are making purchases on their credit card, they are more likely to spend more. So you might save a little bit in interest each week or month from doing the strategy of spending on your credit card and then paying it off from the money in your revolving credit. But if you spend more on your credit card because you're less in touch with your money, if I can use that phrase, then you might end up spending more and spending more than what you'd actually save in interest. So this is something people have to be careful of as well.
Yes, as I said off air, I think that revolving credits aren't for the uninformed or uneducated or the faint-hearted. You need to actually know how to operate your accounts before you jump into a product like this. But if you can operate your money in a sensible manner, they can be remarkable.
So, Ella, just coming back to you and your first home. So you were saving up an extra, I think it was about $23,400 because you were charging your flatmates $150 each and there were three of them in there and it works out to be roughly that much. So how was it actually structured? How big was your revolving credit? At what point were you taking that or how did it work with your principal?
So what you do is you set it up in line with your when it's coming off fixed and floating. So you have a portion floating, and then let's say I'm going to save $1,000 extra a month for the next 12 months because that's when my fixed comes up for renewal. I save $1,000 each month, put it in that offset account, and then come 1 year on, I can put that money and pay it off that lump sum to my mortgage.
So you direct all of your surplus cash into that revolving credit, bringing it down effectively to zero. Then you've still got the available credit of, say, $12,000 in that example. You make a lump sum payment of $12,000 every anniversary of your loan, refix the loan at that stage. If you're going to fix for 2 years, you might increase that to 24. And therefore, you're not only reducing the amount of interest you pay from a day-to-day basis, because remember, interest is calculated daily, charged monthly on a mortgage, but you're also making lump sum payments and that gets you ahead faster.
And ballpark, if you're doing it in this way, how many years are you going to save on your mortgage?
Really depends on what your surplus is.
Yeah.
The financial education is there. If you play around with the calculators, you can actually tell if I put an extra $1,000 per month in this, where will I be in 15 years' time compared to 30?
And I think one of the great things about revolving credit is because you've still got access to the money, you can afford to challenge yourself a little bit more. In the example that Ella gave before, if you've got a $12,000 surplus every year, then maybe you set your limit as $20,000. And so if you do come into some extra money because of overtime or less expenses than you expected, then you can keep that extra money in your mortgage. And what I do find a big benefit of revolving compared to offset is that mentally you still owe the money. And so people are paying it down at a faster rate because they're wanting to get ahead and they're wanting to pay off that mortgage faster. And if you overcommit yourself to your savings, you haven't just put it onto the mortgage. You can take it straight back out and use it for that new motor that you need in your car or something like that that comes up as an unexpected bill.
Now, Ella, let me ask you this, because if people are listening to this and thinking, God, this is a great thing to do. I need to go out and get myself a revolving credit so I can direct all my savings into there. How big of a revolving credit should people take out?
It entirely depends on their income and their financial plan. So we'd sit down and we'd say, hey, look, this is how much you earn each month. This is your mortgage repayments, rates, insurance. Pretty much really detailed of what your expenses are. How much are you left over with at the end of the month? Does this weigh up to your savings at the moment? So are you saving $1,000 a month? Add that up by 12. You can pretty quickly see if people are saving to what they tell you they are.
Yes.
And then go from there and review it. You can also pay 5% off of your mortgage per year. So if you are
even in a fixed term, right? Yeah, amazing.
If you are saving more than that, say $12,000, you can put those lump sum payments to your mortgage.
And would I be right in saying as well, Ella, that if we are saving $1,000 a month, you'd make the revolving $12,000?
Maybe more than that.
As a bit of a stretch goal in that case, yes. And you used another term as well before, I think in the last episode, other than revolving credit, was it flexible home loan?
Managed
home loans. There are different names for these products at different banks. So Westpac, for example, uses what they call a Choices Everyday account. ANZ are a Flexi facility. ASB are an Orbit facility. New Zealand Home Loans pretend that it's not a revolving credit, but it is. They're all the same thing, unless you're using a true offset mortgage where you actually have a fixed mortgage with a normal table term, and then you have savings offsetting the interest that you pay. In that case, you're making regular payments that do not change. With the revolving credit's a little bit different. There's the added benefit of you only charge the interest on what you owe.
Now, Ella, let me ask you this as well. So you've set a lot of these out for homeowners and investors. Surely people putting plans together, unfortunately, don't always hit what was in their plan. So where do things go wrong when using this sort of financial product?
To take up this, you actually have to be interested and want to do well with your money. If you're not into it, if you don't really care, you're not going to do well.
Don't bother. Yeah, if you're not disciplined enough with your money, you're better off on a table mortgage where you're just making regular payments and you can make lump sums later on as savings are available. These, again, they're not for the faint-hearted. You have to be really committed to be able to make these work. And actually, that goes to my next point, which is not all revolving credits are created equal as well. So you've got some which have got a non-reducing limit. So if you take out a facility of $12,000, it will be $12,000 still in 25 years' time, 30 years' time. Or you can, for example, New Zealand Home Loans have BNZ through their rapid repay. Other banks like Orbit Facilities with ASB, they have a reducing limit. So the benefit of something like that is you know that regardless of what happens, your limit is going to go from $12,000 to zero over a 25-year period, like a normal table loan. So you still are going to pay off your loan in the same length of time, worst case scenario, if not better.
And in actual fact, people, if I've understood correctly with how people would implement this, is it would actually reduce every single month. So perhaps you took out a $12,000 revolving credit and it had a reducing limit. It's decreasing by $1,000 a month.
Wouldn't reduce by $1,000. Normally they're over a 25 or 30 year period. So they'll only reduce a minute amount. But at the end of that term, you can make your lump payments and then do it again. So next year, it might be that you're $11,578 or something like that.
Yes. That's quite disappointing, actually. Ideally, wouldn't you say that it would be per month?
No, because you still want to have the facility available to redraw if, again, you've challenged yourself a little bit too far. Because one thing that I notice as a mortgage broker is that when people set their expenses and their income, their expenses are always wildly out from what's reality. Because, you know, they might say they've got a surplus of $1,000 based on their expenses, but they're not saving $1,000 a month, so that's not actually the case. There's extra money that gets frittered away.
Fantastic. Let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you want to learn more about property with Andrew and I, why not come along to our free in-person Property Academy podcast live recording events. These are happening in October 20th, 21st and 22nd. They are in Auckland, Wellington and in Christchurch. I'm going to drop a link into the show notes. Tap or swipe over the cover art. There'll be a link in there. Or just go to opspartners.co.nz/pod-event. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.